I'm a local business owner, as well as chair of the Oxford Business Action Group, or OBAG, who I represent here today. My father, Philip, and I grew up in Boyles, the game shop on the high street. I went to school in Summertown, and I've also experienced Oxford as a local resident, so I've been at Brasenose for 4 years. Now, I don't live here in town. I also represent the cycling community, and rural county boys. So I get to Oxford by cycling 10 miles from home to this village railway station, where I then catch a train for the final leg. OBAG represents Oxford's brilliant and diverse business community. We're apolitical, although I'm personally a Green Party member, which I say in particular to stress the point that I have an environmental focus as well as a commercial one, and I believe the two can coexist. I and OBAG believe in a sustainable, positive future for local businesses, one supported by fair, data-driven solutions to local issues, and that extends to policy for over transport, of course, which is why I'm here with you today. As a business owner myself, then, I'm concerned with not only the timely, affordable, healthy, and environmentally friendly transport for myself and my employees, but also our customers, which makes it difficult to get things in 7 minutes that we have together now. I will try, though inevitably, I sadly can't be exhaustive. Although there's inevitably extensive overlap, I've split considerations into three. So those that impact business employers and employees, business customers, and then those that affect both. So as far as the employers are concerned, then, like any city centre, businesses in Oxford are wide-ranging. It's so important to make sure none are overlooked or discriminated against, so please do account for this in your plans. So there's those in the city centre and those based further afield in rural Oxfordshire, those with a shop front and those without, those selling services and those that are selling physical products that require supply and fulfilment, those who depend on regular footfall and those who don't, those with a fixed site whose owners and employees follow traditional commuting travel patterns, and those whose work requires they travel like carers or couriers, for example, who trip chain. That is, for anyone that doesn't know, they make multiple shorter journeys over a period of time rather than just an in and out. These in particular are often forgotten, especially those whose movements have no revenue associated with them. For more on this, I would really recommend reading Invisible Women by Carolyn Criado Perez. It's a bit dry, but it's very important. Avoid creating charges that will be passed on to businesses. So try to be cognizant of introducing charges that will simply be passed on to local businesses. Once passed on to local businesses, they cease to act as disincentives for a particular behaviour and act simply as another business tax, unnecessarily. Just to get an idea, local businesses already have to contend with rent rates, utility bills, staff wages, national insurance contributions, tax, which would pay far more fairly, I would suggest, than many large companies, reduced footfall, costs of operating online, including courier costs, often not fully passed on to the consumer to stay competitive, and finally shrinking margins, which we're forced to accept in order to compete with online behemoths, which I will not name, who can benefit from better economies of scale. Help businesses to go electric. Make it easier for businesses to buy electric cars and charging points, offering incentives and grants to do so. Most businesses, including my own, don't need help with the what of business, they need help with cash flow. The councils need to help in that respect more than anything else. Okay, so then considerations for customers. Don't encourage customers to go to other cities. Oxford does not exist in a vacuum, but please don't make decisions on transport as though it does. The choice facing would-be visitors is not one of Oxford or nothing, but often Oxford or numerous other beautiful towns and cities in the county and surrounding area. I often hear from visitors to Oxford who quite reasonably promise to never come here again, rather than face the chaos that is the combination of one-way system, bus gates and car parking charges on streets. Now, some of those people I do believe we could bring round with free park and ride parking and fares, especially now with the rising cost of living, such changes could make a real difference to visitor numbers. And for those still not inclined towards public transport, and for those who can't use public transport for whatever reason, make the purchase of electric cars more attractive. Electric charging points would need to be highly visible across the city as soon as possible to reassure would-be buyers that they're able to charge them easily. Again, with the cost of living crisis, grants or at least interest-free loans, like you can get for phones, for example, should be afforded to families to invest in them. Make sure policies reinforce and support one another, where aspects of one don't disincentivize another. For example, as far as I can tell, the zero emission zone nominally looks to encourage uptake of electric vehicles, and yet the bus gates have no exemptions for electric vehicles, reducing the incentive to go electric. Why buy an electric car if it'll still be blocked from huge amounts in the city centre? I may be wrong, if I'm wrong. On-street parking charges need to not be as prohibitive as they are now. I do not believe that making on-street parking prohibitive reduces congestion or net pollution. It pushes a huge number of the visitors who do still decide to come to Oxford to an already overcrowded Westgate, where traffic is already unbearable. Car journeys for such visitors become more circuitous and more polluting, and traffic around the Westgate worsens further. Additionally, this further supports national chains and neglects independent businesses, often much further out in the city centre. In forcing visitors to the Westgate, council is essentially, if inadvertently, supporting national change in preference to the local economy. Counteracting so many of the brilliant supporting measures that they sought to take to support us through the pandemic, which is greatly appreciated. So I'm concerned positive action, in carrots, is needed to encourage positive behaviour change. And finally, consideration for both. To encourage active transport, my main focus here is on cycling for safe time. Carrots are needed far more than sticks to avoid adverse behaviour change. And again, I would encourage everyone to read Misbehaving by Richard Thaler for more detail on this. It's really fascinating. The city cycling infrastructure is actually pretty poor considering how many people already cycle here, and this is what I believe efforts and funds should be spent on improving. Encourage people to cycle and walk by making it more attractive, not by blocking the ways of transport. Cycling safety and the perception of that safety must be improved too. Improve the existing infrastructure first. Cycling infrastructure is only as good as its weakest link. So if commuters, school runners, and in our case shoppers, are to be encouraged to make cycling their last mile solution, cycling infrastructure from all park and rides needs to be vastly improved. So on that last mile solution note, perhaps we can liaise with rail companies to provide more bike space and commuter trains. On many Oxford to Paddington trains, for example, there are often just four spaces and you can't book them alongside your ticket in app. There needs to be more space allocated to bikes and it needs to be easier to book as part of the ticket buying journey, however you're buying. Provide lockers and safer bike parking for those leaving their bikes there in park and rides and stations for more than 24 hours. Many insurance providers, including my own, will not insure bikes left longer than this, so safe parking for longer periods is essential. Small changes in incentives can make a big difference. What about subsidised cycling proficiency lessons for any Oxfordshire resident wanting them? When I moved to London after graduating, I took up my borough's offer of 3 free cycling proficiency lessons and they were utterly invaluable. I know that I'm a safer cyclist because of them. Help lower income families and individuals to buy bikes and accessories from grants, not just loan schemes. Punish bike theft more severely. Help public feel confident in investing in their cycling. Subsidise electric bikes for elderly and less able people. Oxford isn't flat and it does make a difference. Make exchanging places training mandatory for all HGV drivers coming to Oxford to reduce accident rates. Redesign badly arranged roads, for example, the model and roundabout. Introduce more bike parking is a big one. There's a huge need for more on-street bike parking and it wouldn't be hard to implement. One blocker for me is the nonsensical bikes parked here will be removed sign that you see everywhere, which I find utterly insane. Perhaps engagement with the university and colleges could see them removing these signs and encouraging cyclists to park there safely. By all means, limit that parking to 24 hours or similar, but short-term bike parking is an invaluable draw to those, including myself, who want to run errands in the city centre knowing that their bike is secure wherever they leave it. Finally, make sure all new housing developments have safe, broad, pleasant bike routes incorporated into them from there to the city centre. Finally, conclusion. In my position, based with your question, trying to find solutions that work for everyone affected in Oxford, my advice would be to focus on the carrots, not the sticks. Encourage people to change their mode of transport for the better as a positive choice. Don't just penalise current behaviour or move it out of the city centre onto arterial and ring roads. 3 quick points and then I'm done. The electrification of buses and cars, as far as I'm concerned, is the priority and policies need to be designed towards this goal. I'd urge you to reconsider bus gates in the form currently proposed. I question why a congestion charge hasn't first been proposed. Behaviour change must happen, but it must be perceived to be accessible and achievable. Second point, on data, I would urge you to use applicable data for a city like Oxford. Many people mention the city of Ghent as a success story comparator for modal shift, so for behaviour change when it comes to transport. To those, I would say that Oxford does not have a single, consistent and coherent tram offering across the city centre. Oxford isn't flat, and it doesn't have brilliant cycling infrastructure or a fast, broad ring road. Studies on Ghent have also been done pre-COVID, so it's not the light comparison. Plan in thresholds for meant to measure failure as well as success, and fallback plans for if your original plans don't work. Be humble in making plans and then being okay with changing them if they don't do what you want them to in the first instance. Designed to iterate and learn. Finally, and perhaps surprisingly, given my position as a business owner, but please consider all road users, not just those spending money. Thank you.